We're pleased to welcome back to the show Russ Goldman from Cottagers Confidential. Before we get into the whys and wherefores, how are you feeling?
Oh, boy. I'm not feeling that great, guys.
Now, you didn't have the DirecTV situation, so you were watching it on the computer. Is that correct?
Yes, I was.
Well, you know, the funny thing...
How was the link? Was it clear?
Well, the funny thing about watching it on DirecTV, I don't know if you noticed
2-second link?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was texting me.
Forlan would get the ball and the commentator would go, and he hits the post!
Right, just as he was getting the ball. Yeah. But I think it actually got better as the game went on, didn't it? I think the
second
up.
Half was, I think, better.
Not the greatest game, Russ.
Not the greatest game, but take us from a fan perspective, before we get into Fulham and the future and the players and the formation and what they did, tell us what you're hearing from fellow Fulham fans, and obviously great disappointment, but tell us a little bit about what's going on in Fulham world today.
Yeah, I would say what I've been reading and what I've been getting emailed is basically pride, I guess.
Yeah.
Yep.
I guess everyone just feels that they took it as far as they could. They wish that they would have won, but that shouldn't take away, like you said, the great accomplishment of getting to the game.
Yep. Aguero had a good game. I've not seen a £40 million player. I'm trying so hard to get the Aguero bug, but I'm not getting it. But I did think he had a good game. I thought Chris Baird struggled a little bit here and there.
Yeah,
and of
I
course,
agree.
And he was. I mean, he may not be £40 million worth, but he's gonna do some business.
Yeah,
against
he's
Chris
dangerous,
Baird,
and he knows how to turn on his opposite side, which I really commend. Forlan for me is absolutely fantastic. He's deadly. Maybe most underrated striker that is really at the peak of his game. Look out for him in the World Cup. But rate some of the players for us. Schwarzer, I thought, had a decent game. Baird and Hughes, I wasn't that impressed with, to be honest. And I thought Duff looked a little bit injury-prone at some points. And I thought he just didn't get onto his game. The wide aspect never really took place for both teams, to be honest.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Ron. I think Damien Duff was still hurt
in that
game. He was really having a hard time in the second half. In fact, at one point, I think I saw Clint Dempsey by himself because Damien Duff was not able to come up. So I think he was really injured. I think the fact that Bobby Zamora was obviously not 100% hurt, too. And when he came out, it almost seemed like the game changed when he came out of the game.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, when Davies scored the goal... I think that's only maybe his second goal this year, was it? His second goal, maybe, Davies?
But and they've both been in the Europa League.
Right, when he scored...
It's a terrific goal.
Or when Fulham come back in the Europa League, when Fulham have came back... You get this moment where you think, oh, here we go. They're going to win, or they're going
to
do something.
I mean, just
I
to
didn't
tell you,
get that feeling yesterday when they scored.
I agree with you, and I didn't either. But I will tell you something.
It was a struggle watching
But I'll tell you something. I was out of my chair when he scored.
I was happy
Zamora has the ball in the box.
And of course, the commentator told us before he scored.
Yeah, absolutely. But Zamora's got the ball in the box, and he's got a clear shot, and somehow he didn't take it, and he moves around, and it goes out to the right, and it comes back, and it goes over the guy's head, and Davies
hits it. That was a nice little chip pass from Zoltan Gera. He's a terrific player.
Terrific. So, but did you get that sense, as Kenny was just saying, that I didn't get the sense that they were going to push on and win?
I agree with you guys. I didn't have that feeling. I was hoping for penalty kicks.
Yeah, so was I.
Yeah, that was about your best shot. And I just always felt that they kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and at some point they were going to break it down and get it. And Forlan is so dangerous. And you got to hand it to Forlan, Stephen. He never gives up, that boy.
Now, he
felt he was almost the same at Manchester United, and a lot of United fans gave him stick. But
you think they would want him now?
Well, I think they might want him now instead of Berbatov. And also,
I think a lot of teams would take him right now.
I think the other guy, who I don't think was terrible at United, and I've said this over and over again, was Juan Sebastian Varane. Okay, for the money, but I don't think he was terrible.
Well, the problem with Varane, Stephen, is he plays in that role that was completely taken up by Roy Keane. You can't have Keane and Varane in the same team. Varane's not a bad player.
Right.
And the 29 million people said was unjustified and this, that, and the other. He was a guy who needed that space that
but they'd like him back now.
That Roy Keane commanded. That was a problem.
No question.
Actually, not a problem.
So what did you do right after the game? Did you drown your sorrows?
No, it's funny because a fellow blogger emailed me and couldn't believe that I wrote a story right after the loss. that I got right on the computer and I just started writing because I found that a little therapeutic just to get it out.
That's what I was going to say. You probably felt that ease the pain as such.
Yeah, absolutely. Write it down and it takes away the pain.
So what now for Fulham? Obviously, there's a couple of areas that need to be addressed. And Danny Murphy, how he was at 80% pass completion at halftime's a mystery because...
Because he gave the ball away like crazy in the first half.
Well, in the first half, he was giving it away all the time, but he caught up with his... with his stats towards the end of the first half, 80%.
I was
amazed he was at 80%.
More to the point, Russ, and I'd love to hear what Fulham fans have got to say about this. Mohamed Fayed has just sold Harrods for £1.5 billion, which is pretty much the value of Manchester United. Are you guys looking at that and saying...
All right, spend it.
Is he going to put into the club?
How much debt...
Kenny, that is the question of the day.
Yeah.
Will he put some of that back into the club? Because...
I think he will.
That's what I'm reading about. I'm reading on the message boards. The fans want to know if he's going to give Roy a good amount of money to spend this summer.
Okay, so what areas do you want to see? Because Konchesky, I like Paul Konchesky. I've always liked Paul Konchesky, but he's not getting any younger. And I think yesterday you've seen not the best wide game from Madrid, but they certainly caught him hopping a few times. What areas do you want to see strengthened for next season?
Yeah, personally, I want to see some more help in the midfield, and I'd also want to see a real legitimate striker up there, because I don't know if Andy Johnson's going to be back. So, I mean, I'm assuming he's going to come back, but he's coming back from a very vicious injury.
Would have been handy last night if it went to penalties.
He's run at Crystal Palace or something. Is Zamora the guy? I mean, I'm very impressed. Hold on one second. I'm very impressed with the fact that, you know what, he was honest. He was Capello told him he was in the squad, and Zamora said, "I'm going to play in this game on Wednesday, and then I need surgery, so don't include me."
Yeah.
No, I give him credit. I give him so much credit for gutting it out last night. Obviously, he wanted to play very badly, and I actually think he's the guy. He's proven to me this season, from last season, just the type of player that he is. When he's healthy, he really is a first-rate striker.
Okay. Hey, we've got Tim from Baltimore on the line, and he wants to come on and have a chat with you and us regarding Fulham. Can you put him on?
Yeah.
Are you there, Tim?
Yeah, I'm here. It's okay.
Say hi to Russ.
Say hi to Russ and have a chat.
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Go at it, guys. Have a bit of Fulham discussion.
Wow, two Fulham fans on a radio station. That's like the first time ever, right?
We're always breaking ground. Don't worry about that.
I just want to echo what Russ was saying earlier that, you know, it's very prideful amongst us fans, but also just very disappointing, you know, to kind of be, you know, feel kind of like Moses looking at the promised land. You know, it's right there. You can see it, but you just can't have it.
Can I ask you this question? Had you in your mind...
Only Stephen Cohen can say, two Fulham fans, go at it, and then get right away.
I know, but I've got to ask this. In your mind, okay, because I will say that I did this the night before the Manchester United-Chelsea game in the Champions League final. In your mind, when you closed your eyes, had you seen Danny Murphy lifting the cup up?
I seen Ferguson. Listen, I'm going through the withdrawal systems that you went through when Rangers got beat by Zenit a few years ago in the UEFA Cup. So I had envisioned all the Rangers players lifting that cup. So yes, I
had you?
No, I personally I didn't see that, but I also didn't see Forlanton doing it either. I really had no expectation for this match. If that makes any sense. Like, I really had no idea how it was going to go.
Right, but I'm talking about from in your mind as fans. You know, when you were falling asleep the night before, you're in bed, you're tossing and turning, and I know you were because you get so excited about this game and you play that game in your head over and over and over again. Did you, just as you were nodding off, went, yeah, go on, Danny, lift it up,
go on, Danny, go on, Danny.
No, but maybe I should have.
Yeah. Actually, as Stephen is saying that, the only thing that's crossing my mind, and I'm telling you, I'm getting a hologram in front of me here right now, is Mark Van Bommel lifting the European Cup. I'm getting that image in my mind.
Yeah, there you go.
Stephen, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You're talking to Tim and I about how we felt yesterday. How did you feel when Chelsea lost that game with John Terry's kick?
I'll send you the picture. There's a picture floating around with me with my head in my hands. because I had looked at Kenny, who was about 5 yards away from me, and with the biggest grin on my face, that John Terry was running.
John Terry was running. Stephen's looking at me, going, "Champions of World Europe."
I just said,
and his feet, he was elevated.
We're going to win the European Cup, and I was already in the air.
It was
it was gutting.
I can see it now.
And that's why I say to even Red Sox fans, take your Bill Buckner and shove it up your ass.
Fantastic.
Take your Scott Norwood Buffalo Bills fans,
wide right,
shove it up your ass.
Wide right, right? Is that Norwood?
Yeah, that's Scott Norwood. Yeah. So I say that with all the humor in the world. All right, guys, let me ask you this. The big question for Fulham fans obviously is this. Roy Hodgson, do you think he'll be back?
Yes. No.
Ooh.
Oh, who said no? Russ?
No, I said yes. Tim said no.
Tim, why do you think he won't be back, and where do you think he's going?
I don't think he'll be back, because if you look at his CV, he only stays at clubs for about 3 or 4 years, and you could look at what he's done with Fulham, and he's taken it as far as he can basically take us. You know, he's telling the press, I'm here forever, but everyone.
But he's
that.
Never really found a home in England, and he's in a comfortable position. Fulham's not a bad club. It's a great location. They might have some money to spend. He's got a good nucleus of a team there. He's had some success. He would want to go up to Liverpool? He seems to be the public favour for Liverpool. But why he would want to get to that mess?
Me too. And here's my question. And this, I don't mean this in any derogatory way about Fulham at all, because this run has been unbelievable. You can't exactly see, with the exception of Chris Smalling, who's going to Manchester United, you can't exactly see a feeding frenzy for this Fulham squad, can you?
Not really. Tim, what do you think?
No, we have a lot of young players, guys like Wayne Brown, Danny Hoss, and Robert Milton, who I think in a few years will definitely be, you know, first 11 guys. But I think we're a few years before that. So at the moment, no, but in the future, yes.
No, I that's a good question Stephen poses, because outside Mark Schwarzer, who is a good, very good goalkeeper, I'm not sure that Konchesky, Hanglin, Hughes, Baird, Etuhu, Murphy, Davis, Duff, Guerra, or Zamora are on anybody's radar.
I could see Clint Dempsey going somewhere. I thought he would go somewhere last summer, but I could see him going somewhere after the World Cup. Like, if Everton or Villa or one of those teams said 15, 20 million right for Clint Dempsey, we'd be, honestly, he's a legend at Craven Cottage, but we'd be stupid not to take that money.
Now, is there any, and maybe you guys don't know this, is there any potentiality of Craven Cottage getting lifted in size, getting remodeled? Because what does it hold right now, 25,000, 30,000? What does it hold, Craven Cottage?
25,000.
25,000. Yeah, 25, yeah. So if you get that up to a 40,000 stadium, okay, it wouldn't be full every week, but still, the revenue stream is much bigger. He's definitely got the money to do it right now. And you can attract longer contracted players. And, of course, you stay in the Premier League as a top 10, top 12 team for the next 5 to 10 years. I think that would be a great move if he's got the spare cash.
Yeah, it's a good point, Russ. I don't know if you want to add to it.
Yeah, I would love it if they did. I just don't see them doing it. I know that there was talk about it while ago, but I don't see them expanding.
I don't understand or see how based on the location of Craven Cottage, yeah, how they could.
Right.
I could see, kind of like, because, you know, they teamed up with like the Boston Red Sox ownership group. I could see kind of what the Fenway Park did, which, I mean, Russ could tell you about, and I used to live in Massachusetts, is that just renovate the living heck out of it and find seating like wherever you can, and then market that seating, like seating on the Green Monster, you know, seating on the right field roof deck. You know, I could see them doing something like that. I mean, granted, that would jack up the ticket prices significantly, which would offset our lack of seating, much like Fenway Park. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't see any major renovations going on in the future, as you mentioned, the location. Because, I mean, you have the river on one side, you have the park on one side, and you have a neighborhood on the other two sides. So. Mm.
Mm. All right. Hey, guys, listen, you should be very, very, very proud. Very proud. And I'm not saying this like, oh, yeah, it was a good college run. It was a gutty, heroic, courageous run. And I know that for you guys, it came out of nowhere. So, you know, I mean, getting out of the group stage was one thing. And the run in the knockout stage is just unbelievable. You should be really proud. I think Fulham's become everybody's second favorite team in the Premiership. And it's great stuff. And we will be doing doing our level best to try and get hold of some Fulham people when they get back into training camp in July. It was interesting because I had tried earlier in the season. And they kept on saying to me, you know, our schedule is too busy, obviously, with the Premier League and then whatever cup competitions and the Europa League. And I almost wrote back and said, well, come on, you'll be out of the Europa League pretty soon. But well, it wasn't to be, and I didn't bother going back, but I will go back in July and August.
We honestly thought we'd be out of there, too, after the third Champions League reject we had to play. But
exactly. All right, mate. Hey, thanks very much, Tim. Russ, we really, really appreciate it. Thank you for your promotion of our show.
And
we will continue to promote your blog there, Russ. And Tim, thank you very much for the call.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck. All right, take care. All right. So we have got Richard Whittle coming up in about 10 minutes or 5 minutes or so.